peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to hear these words from our second reading once again from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Brothers and sisters in Christ, give ear to my words. The day of Pentecost invites us to celebrate. It invites us to celebrate that God's word is for everyone. In my first year at Salem, I had the privilege of attending the multi-ethnic symposium at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and it's become one of my favorite conferences to attend each year. And in that first year when I attended, the speaker got up in the front and he said to everyone in attendance, he said, "I want you all to look around you." And so we all did. And we saw people from all different languages and tribes and nations. And it was absolutely beautiful. And then the speaker said, as we all responded in laughter, he said, "If you don't like what you see, then heaven isn't for you." Attending the symposium each year has given me that picture of what heaven's going to look like, at least a little bit of a glimpse. That God's word is for everyone. And serving here at Salem in a multi-ethnic ministry has given me yet another picture. That God's word is for everyone, and it truly is beautiful. Pentecost is such a grand and fitting occasion, a grand and fitting celebration, because it points to the fact that God's word is not limited in any way. God wants us to celebrate and understand who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what that cross is all about, what that empty tomb is proclaiming, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And God wants everyone to know that in Christ, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that from that very cross, he has bled for you. He has died for you. And one day, he is coming back for you. Our text says that they were all gathered together in one place. And out of nowhere, there was this mighty rushing wind, and that wind filled the whole house. The Hebrew word for that mighty rushing wind was ruach. I want you to say that with me now. Ruach. No, let's try it again. Ruach. All right. For those of you who have any German blood, you should be able to do it a little bit better than your neighbor next to you. It's a guttural there. Then tongues of fire appeared on each one of them. I mean, just imagine here. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden they can speak in these other tongues. They can speak in these other languages. I mean, you can kind of imagine this room for just a second. Maybe not, actually, because it is super cool, but super chaotic. It is cool and chaotic at the same time because of all these different languages being spoken. This is the helper that was promised by Jesus just a couple of weeks ago that we had in our gospel reading, that all of a sudden the helper is now here. Jesus said it. He said it in the upper room. He had promised. He said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to actually be sending you someone." He said, "I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And now, all of a sudden, he's here in this mighty rushing wind. The Spirit has come just as promised. God fulfills his promises every single time. And all of a sudden, people hear the mighty works of God. Most significantly, they hear from the Apostle Peter. Peter, of all people, they hear from Peter. You know that guy that was walking on water for 3 seconds and then all of a sudden he sank? Peter, the guy who rebuked Jesus and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, the guy who denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed twice. That Peter. Peter, the guy who met Jesus on a beach and had breakfast and was restored. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Fully restored, fully forgiven. That Peter. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "Give ear to my words." In the power of the Spirit, Peter directed the ears of his hearers to the Word of God. I've told you this before, that when I'm talking to the preschoolers here at Salem, whenever I say, "Hey kids, it's time to listen to the Word of God," I say, "Now where are your listening ears?" And they all are told they've got to grab their listening ears. And when they grab, thank you DJ for doing that. You got to grab your listening ears. And when you grab your listening ears, what do you got to do with your mouth? Got to close your mouth, because now it's a time to listen to the Word of God. And that's what Peter was calling them to do. But you see, this is what the Spirit does. The Spirit calls people by the gospel, enlightens people with His gifts, sanctifies and keeps people in the one true faith. This is also what the Spirit does in our lives as well. The Spirit has called us by the gospel to be present here, to hear the Word of God. And He has much to say to us. He has much to proclaim to us so that we hear of the mighty works of God, but not so we just hear it and say, "Hey, I'm going to keep it to myself. I've got Jesus. Yes, I do. I've got Jesus. I'll forget about you." No, it's, "I've got Jesus. Yes, I do. I've got Jesus. And I am going to go proclaim the mighty works of God to other people." That doesn't rhyme, but it certainly works a lot better, because that's what we're called to do. We have been called to faith in our baptism. We have been called here to confess our sins and receive the absolution of Christ. We have been called to share the good news of great joy that is for everyone. But I don't know about you, but proclaiming the mighty works of God isn't always the easiest thing to do. It has a tendency to be rather difficult to share our faith with other people. It has a tendency, well, to be in a situation sometimes where we don't get a lot of prep time. I mean, people don't just come up and say, "You know what? I'd like to be able to talk to you about Jesus. But because I know you're going to need some prep time, I'm going to give you a week and then we'll come back to this conversation and we will then return to it so that you're prepared to talk about Jesus with me." It doesn't usually work that way, does it? Instead, opportunities to tell of the mighty works of God can be, well, they can be rather random. They can be quite unexpected. Maybe it's at a family gathering, and then all of a sudden that religious skeptic in the family, you know the one I'm talking about. You know, and they ask their questions, or they're very critical of your faith, and they just start blurting out all of these questions about Jesus, but it's kind of set in that tone that's not very favorable. Or you're sitting in the coffee shop with a friend, and you can see the tears starting to form in their eyes, and all of a sudden they're just blurred out, "Where is God in all of this?" Or you're at the hospital and your loved one is nearing death and you're overcome with emotion and you're wondering, "What on earth am I supposed to say?" Or maybe it's the coworker or the friend that just simply says, "What do you believe about God?" It can come in a myriad of ways, but rarely is there time to prepare. And so a lot of times we just feel like we're ill-equipped. We're just not equipped. We think we don't know God's word well enough to be able to share of the mighty works of God. And perhaps that's because we haven't prioritized studying His Word enough. Perhaps that's because we're not in His Word daily. Perhaps that's because we're not actually setting aside time to be able to study His Word, to be able to prepare, be prepared for those moments, which is important that we do. I mean, we can't expect, for example, I can't expect to be able to become a mechanic if I don't actually go to school to actually know how to work on a car. I can't expect to know how to witness my faith if I don't, in fact, read the Word of God and study it day in and day out. So we need to practice sharing our faith. And one thing that Pastor Martin and I have discovered here in this practicing of sharing our faith is that it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. For those of you that are perfectionists like myself, that is really hard to tell yourself. It's okay to fail, and it's okay that you don't have a conversion that day. That there needs to be space to recognize that this is in fact a process for people. Not only a process for you as the one who's witnessing your faith to someone else, but it's also a process for the person who's just simply exploring, who is this guy named Jesus? And so what you're doing is you're creating space for conversations. You're creating space for questions. You're creating space for the struggle. You're creating space for people to fall on their face and get back up again, and fall on their face and get back up again. You're even creating space for sin to enter in, because guess what? You actually come under an umbrella of forgiveness, because Christ is bigger than everything. And so it's really awesome, though, when you are welcome into an adventure of somebody's life, when they say, tell me about this God that you believe in, and you recognize, I don't have to save them. I just need to walk alongside of them, because God's the one that does the saving. And a lot of times, the other reason is that we can sometimes convince ourselves in these witnessing opportunities, we can convince ourselves that God's word's not going to do any good, because the devil is really good at convincing us that we're going to fail anyway, so it's not even worth trying. So we just clam up and we remain silent. A lot of times this is with our family members, and we just stay quiet, even though we know those are the people that need to hear it from us the most. The first of those arguments really calls upon us to repent for us not being in the Word, not studying the Word, because we need to be in it daily. We're called upon to be in the Word every single day as if our lives depended upon it. Read it, learn it, mark it, inwardly digest it as if our lives depended upon it, because it does. The second is to realize here that the devil is really, really good at getting us to believe lies, but he is in fact the father of all lies, and he is in fact a loser. He has already lost. The devil ain't got nothing on Jesus. You see, our God doesn't bow the knee to Satan. Remember, when all this is said and done and we get to the last day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Every knee. That means that on the last day, even Satan's knee is going to bow. And I can't wait to see that. I don't know about you. So Satan better get ready to bow. Because 2,000 years ago, a mighty act of God that was heard there on Pentecost, well, it actually happened, because the mighty act of God took place on a cross when Satan was crushed. Your sin and mine was nailed to that cross. The burden of our sins removed as far as the east is from the west. The burden of our sins gone forever, and we witness what love really looks like. as he breathed his last. And the tomb is empty. Death is defeated. And we do have the victory. And it's been given to us. In baptism, the same Spirit that was given on Pentecost was given to us. The same Spirit that was given to Peter when he gave that rockin' awesome sermon, and all of a sudden 3,000 people were baptized. Imagine how long that sermon was. That's why I'm going to go for another couple hours yet. But 3,000 baptisms took place after he preached. 3,000 people are saved. So my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, give ear to the word of God. It's as St. Paul tells young Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. Opportunities await us to be witnesses of the mighty works of God, because there's not a one of us out there, both for us and for all people out there, that needs to hear of these mighty works of God. That Jesus, in fact, is the Savior of the world. And should fear be knocking at your door, should fear be causing you to close up those lips, listen to these words from the Gospel of Luke. Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I've got Spirit. Yes, I do. I've got Spirit. How about you? Yes, you do. In the words of a Minnesotan, yeah, sure, you betcha. You definitely have got the Spirit. So brothers and sisters in Christ, allow me to say it again. Give ear to the Word of God so that you may proclaim the works of God, because God's Word is for everyone. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.